Welcome, my friends. Good morning from the snowy, snowed-in, snow mountains. This is your friendly local Michael Basham here, getting warm by the fire. Learning out here in the country a little bit about survival. And when it freezes, boy, does it freeze. You gotta make sure your pipes aren't frozen, as they tend to do in these flash, crazy temperature drops that come out of nowhere these days. But that's not what I wanted to get on here and share with you guys. I really feel the call and the pull to return to our first love. I realize that the world keeps you busy, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're young or old. There's always something to distract you. There's always some pull, some emergency, some lust or some greed or some fear or some kind of pressure that keeps you from really coming home to the place of our Heavenly Father. So I thought we would just kind of just spend some time in meditation and the Word of God and maybe share some dreams, maybe share some thoughts about life and about the walk of faith. And it's a self-reminder too, because I might write down all this stuff and just stuff it away and then think I did God's service, but I never shared it. I never really published anything. I never really shared some of the deeper things that God's been putting on my heart and some of the testimonies and some of the just miraculous deliverances throughout the years. I mean, imagine if the Bible had never been written down. Imagine if we'd never received those histories of the people of God and the times of ancient lore and knowledge and understanding and the writings of the wise King Solomon and the songs of David and the warnings of the prophets and the teachings of Paul, and especially the words of Jesus and the testimony of Jesus and his death and resurrection, all fitting with prophecy. I mean, that Bible right there is not just a little, I don't know, AA meeting, devotional morning, make you feel good about yourself and then go back to your life. That's not what it's for. I know a lot of people use it for that. Like, they use it for, well, I got to overcome my addiction or my depression or, I mean, you might as well be a Buddhist then. It's the same thing. Buddhists are always ever learning, never coming to the knowledge of the truth. You know, endless libraries of Buddha. This is a revolution for Jesus. This is the understanding of the gospel. And your life by faith is something that will shake the heavens and the earth and the people around you. And it's a humble beginning, but it continues into eternity. Okay, we're going to be right back. Just a moment. So, without further ado, after all that, let's read a psalm. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. See, the world with all of its foolishness, before the transgender madness of today's Hollywood, I watched a movie called Dodgeball yesterday. And back in the early 2000s to mid 2000s, you know, like 2002 to 2008, the main thrust of Hollywood was like American Pie stupidity. These really stupid movies that were just lowering the mental consciousness of all the viewers. And there's some funny parts and whatever, it's entertaining, it's clowning around, but all the movies were about being a total idiot, like really gross, just stupid humor. And they got away with a lot of gender, weight, dysphoria, whatever jokes about fat shaming and just outright, like, inappropriate humor, but it wouldn't fly today. So it's kind of interesting to watch that. In a way, it feels wholesome compared to the stuff that's being pumped down people's throats. Like, a joke about lesbians was a joke, not a preaching sermon about the need to worship lesbians. And I had a dream this morning that I woke up kind of rather suddenly, so I forgot the majority of it, but it had to do with the androgyny of the future humanity as planned by the enemy. They have a specific type of look that they want to install, one of them being kind of the butch lesbian look, and the other something else. And it would be like the replacement of what we have today as male and female. I guess it would be more of like a feminized male and a extremely masculine female. So we're seeing that, and I just, you know, I don't mean to make this Bible study about that, but when you read the Bible and it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. They're teaching you things. They're directing you. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That spirit of scorn and just biting sarcasm. There's a sarcasm where even God is sometimes sarcastic, but that there's also a sarcasm that is exceedingly demonic and hateful and full of unforgiveness and itself spiraling down into the black hole of hell. So you want to detach from that trajectory and delight in the law of the Lord. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. How much time are we spending meditating on the law, both day and night? It's easy to fill your days with other things besides meditating on the law of God, the liberating law of God, the completely just set you free from the darkness of the world kind of law of God. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Simple as that, baby. Black and white. Don't gotta think too much. Except when you meditate on this and you reflect on the way the world is going and the way that the cities are just on the brink of possible nuclear attack, you think, well, God is planting us in the mountains, in the countryside. Our main issue is just trying to keep the water on and trying to stay warm and stuff and get through the winter and keep them goats and those chickens from getting eaten by those bars. And, you know, you'll do all those things. If you would spend time in meditation with the Lord, he's having me go back and look at some of the prophecies from 2016, 2017, before things really got into, like, persecution mode. I and some friends were doing a lot of prayers for the planets. We were going into, like, deep space stuff. And as long as there was that sort of a semblance of civilization that you could sit down in peace and focus on the Spirit. Once the tribulation starts, it's going to be really hard to do that. I think God is going to just, out of his grace and mercy, he's going to open the veil a little bit more for us to be able to see the things that currently we need faith to see. But one of the reasons it's really important to write things down is that you might lose track. You might forget what God showed you before. Those dreams of Mars, those experiences on the moons of Saturn and Jupiter, and starships and sage mages that come to you and share with you the secrets of creation and really the destiny of the sons of God that we can step into right now, that we can lose track of if we're just concerned about our children, our family, our finances, our entertainment, our whatever pleasures or addictions that are pulling you, those are all common to man. And there has no temptation what is this verse? Sorry, I'm just waking up here. I'm just waking up. I'm on my second cup of coffee, but I'm still just waking up. There hath no temptation. Come upon you, except that which is blessed is the man that endureth temptation. James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So there's a blessing. There's like, we're like, oh man, but I want to serve God, but my temptation. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. 1 Corinthians 10:13. So all of our temptations that we go through are just common to man. It's nothing special. God is faithful, but God is faithful who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape so that you may be able to bear it. And Jesus talked about temptation in Luke 22:46. Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Pray that you enter not into temptation. I mean, Jesus understood about that. And the trajectory to stay focused on God, that stay on target with God, is so much more important than just, well, I didn't drink, I didn't smoke, I didn't look at a woman to lust. I didn't do this or that. I didn't, you know, fall into my fleshly. Where if you're not physically tempted by those things right now, maybe it's just the focus on money. I didn't be greedy. I didn't gamble my life for my wife. I didn't go to Vegas. What about just like staring at bank statements all day? That can become a thing. I mean, the world is really set up to try to spiral you down into just focusing on, well, my mortgage this and my credit card payment that, but the guy that owes me that, but the business deal this. And it's just this never-ending morning till night rat race, which, don't worry, you'll get all those things done. Well, those things, you're going to get all those things taken care of. Don't you worry about that. But what is the true riches? The true riches of God, the things which the witches of this world want you to be stoked on, just the riches of the world, the witchcraft of Babylon the whore and Jezebel and all the psychics that are mostly concerned with how to get more money. Let's get some psychic tarot cards going so you can find out what's your fortune. How are you going to make it rich in this world? Well, how about the riches of God? Eternal life, man. What use is all the wealth in the world if you don't get to enjoy it? That sounds like a curse to me. That sounds like some vampire thing. Okay, you get to live forever, but you're always a blood-sucking vampire. That sounds like eternal damnation. And that's what the world offers you, is really just damnation. And what God offers you is long-lasting peace, righteousness with contentment. The peace of righteousness. And godliness of such a sort that you feel rest on all sides is great gain. I'm mixing up a bunch of Bible verses here. But if you look at the Bible, even randomly, here it is, 1 Timothy 6:6. See, this is why I like the King James, because it's really fast to look things up just on your own phone without internet. I don't have to depend on the internet to find verses. I've memorized enough of the King James Bible. 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. So what is godliness? You're not going to steal. You're not going to lust or covet, I should say. You're not going to fall into sin, ungodliness, wickedness. Hopefully not. I was on Omega Man last night, and the last thing that I shared before we kind of jumped into some different tangents of conversation was this fallen angel being who had a look of extreme wickedness and delight in his wickedness. And thinking that we are wrestling against these wicked forces. I'm sure there's all shapes and sizes. You know, this is one third of heaven that fell with Satan. We're in a huge cosmic spirit war. God and his angels versus the devil and his angels. But we have the higher tech. And I want to reach out to the super soldier people that they've been abducted, they've been taken off planet, they've been a part of these MK Ultra abusive programs, but they are apt to be saved and brought over to God's super soldier program, which it can utilize similar tactics in some ways. I mean, God, I believe, has his spaceships. God has his angel bases. He's got his teleportation tech. He's got even some form of time travel and remote viewing, his version, spirit travel. I think we really neglect those things because people get carried away and then things can get confusing. I understand that. But that's why we come back to the Bible. And the Bible is the launch pad. It's the clear out all the rubble in your life and even the miracles. Well, it's so amazing we got an America. Yeah, but what if you just focus on the Constitution all day and you read that more than the Bible? I want to blast off into space as well, but first you got to clear out all that rubble and really like wrap your mind around the whole entire Bible and see from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation, the entire story, and then inject yourself into that. Like that movie Inner Space where actor gets injected into Martin Short and like travels throughout his organs and has to deal with like stomach acid and his depleting oxygen. And you are a part of that world. You are in the Bible. We are in Jesus and he is in us and we live and breathe and move and through him have our being now. We are a new creation. And yet it's not completely revealed yet what we'll be like, except we'll be like him when he appears. At the resurrection, at the twinkling of an eye transformation when he shows up. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:7, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." Well, then what do we do down here? Well, if we have food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. That's why I love these podcasts, because we get to confess a confession of faith before many witnesses. Even if it's just two or three, it's still a lot. And to understand our identity in Jesus and who Jesus is, and to know that we can have more of him in our life active if we would just meditate and come daily to the gates of wisdom, to the places of understanding, of unraveling of the mysteries, the revelations. These revelations about God and his word are precious, and God doesn't just throw them to the wolves. You don't just find one, you know, crumpled up in a bubblegum wrapper in a trash can in a casino in Vegas. He has these treasures hidden in very precious, special places in the spirit so that only those who, like Indiana Jones, are ready and willing to go on an adventure to search for these deep mysteries of God will find them. You have to go through all the mazes. You have to go through all the challenges. And it's fun and it's exciting and there's music and there's destiny and there's hope and there's courage and valor and honor and virtue to get there. And then it's given to you for free. You literally stumble upon it. You just find this treasure and you're like, oh my gosh, this is worth everything I got. And then you sell everything you have and you buy that little piece of land where you know a treasure is hidden on it, because you're going to be really rich when you get that. That's what revelation is like. And so it's hard to get on here and just talk about revelation. You always end up dancing around it because it's, if just straight up saying like, okay, this is some new revelation here and this is some new revelation there, to do that cheapens it and robs the journeyman his journey. And instead you're just like, okay, whatever. King James Bible by my bedside in the hotel. Yeah. What if you could see all the blood shed just to get you that King James Bible in English? If anything, Satan's plan was just to get so many of them printed and then give you so many other things to do, like the Bible app on your phone. Are you really going to sit down with all the buzz of notifications from AI and sit down and read your Bible in a quiet space? Like I'm sitting here in this little cabin by a wood burning fireplace. Okay, it's propane, but with a hot cup of coffee and just my voice and the word of God in front of us and listening to his spirit and overviewing some of the old prophecies of off-planet adventures with friends back in 2017. Which, by the way, that stuff doesn't even cross my mind, hardly. You have to clear away all the garbage, is what I'm saying. But getting back to the Super Soldier stuff, I just got an email from James Rink. And I've been hoping to collaborate with him for a long time. He's on the New Age spectrum, but his interviews with Super Soldiers have been just unparalleled, like unmatched. His consistency, and he's kind of an interesting character himself, and I thought it would be fun to interview him and just kind of reach out to his people and show them that, hey, there's other guys out there that are interested in this material. And with that in mind, finding some of the old Ginny Brooks materials and documents from Taiwan, a friend that traveled to Taiwan to be a part of our little endeavor and ended up kind of taking the whole thing into another dimension. It kind of upset the apple cart too, and literally upset the apple cart and all hell broke loose. But it was really all of this meditative prayer and fellowship and writings and art and interceding and healing. And then that's where the spirit wars got started too. That's where we met Johnny McMahon during that whole time and slowly got back into, got into really seriously pursuing the podcast. It was really thanks to Ginny's help. And, I found some old notes about Martian dreams and visions and travels and just like study notes. And it's not in my mind, but I thought that the timing was funny because just right there with James Rink emailing me back, just pray for that because there's going to be a lot of interference for that interview to happen. But it occurred to me as well that I might have a few Super Soldier stories to share of my own with James and with his audience. Not as an abductee, but as someone that's been a participant in being interested in going in and finding out about what is going on in other dimensions, in other realms. How does such a program interface with our world? And we already hear enough about MKUltra and the evil guys doing their stuff. What about God's super soldiers? What about like the kind of stuff that Dan Duvall is talking about all the time with his latest interview, really brilliant show about heaven's super soldiers? Well, put on the whole armor of God. Fight the good fight of faith. It's a fight to increase your faith. And understanding that we're kind of coming into this a little late in the game here. We're not like the first people to discover God. There is a method to the madness of all the Christian denominations, which I believe will be erased in the end. I think that none of those are going to get you there. I think they're all just scaffolding that is quickly rotting. The spirit of the seven churches is what we want to really look at when we talk about the church. And God has mostly not super good things to say about their performance. But then when he turns back to himself and he refers to himself with regards to these different churches, the seven spirits, just go to Revelations chapter 1. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia. And it talks about Jesus Christ, Alpha and Omega, first and the last. And John has shown seven golden candlesticks and a vision of Jesus with white hair and eyes of a flame of fire. And it continues. The mystery of the seven stars. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks, which you saw, are the seven churches. So there's candlesticks in the spirit, which are guarding that or presenting the light of God, and there are angels of the seven churches. That's kind of a little bit bigger than just Presbyterian or Catholic or Orthodox. But who knows? Maybe one of them is Catholic. Maybe one of them is Orthodox. Maybe one of them is Protestant. I don't know. I've thought about that before. But Jesus speaks to these seven churches, to Ephesus. He says it like this: "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." So he presents himself first, and this vision of Jesus. And then he gets into like, okay, well, you know, I have somewhat against thee. You left your first love, and we won't get into the details. I just want you to see how he talks to each of these churches. Then he talks to another church, Pergamos. And it says, "These things saith he which hath the sharp sword with the two edges." So it's like, okay, he's presenting himself again. And a little extra revelation about Jesus. Each church seems to have another vision of Jesus. And then the same thing. He's like, okay, well, you know, you're trying to do your best. You know, I know where you dwell, where Satan's seat is, and you hold fast my name and haven't denied my faith. La, 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 la. I'm not trying to make light of God's words. I'm just trying to show you that all the churches are pretty much in trouble. It's like, I have somewhat against thee. You know, kind of a big deal. You left your first love. And then to the church in Thyatira, "These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass." There you go. It's like from his eyes to his feet, showing you a vision of Jesus from this church. It's an angelic, mystical thing. It's not a church made by men. It's a church that obviously started with some kind of a movement of God burning, an eternal flame. He's like, "I know your works, your charity, etc. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. Derp, 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 derp. You suffer Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication." Vader was seduced by the dark side of the Force. And it talks about how he's going to judge Jezebel. And then the church in Sardis. "He saith, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you live and are dead." And this is a beautiful, beautiful word, because it's like, even to this church, it's like, you're dead. "But be watchful, strengthen the things which remain and are ready to die." It's like, there's still hope. But then the scary part is like, "For I have not found your works perfect before God." So it's basically, repent. You know, if you don't watch, I'll come on you as a thief. I mean, it's so hard to stay awake. You know, it's like, even the disciples, got tempted into falling asleep at the most important time. And how much more for those that are weighed down by the cares of this life and this world and the things, even the coming tribulation, even the signs in the sky and the signs in the spirit and the supernatural manifestations, you can get carried away and lose track. Mega, mega big time. But let's focus on the Lord here. Because he speaks to only one church, the Church of Philadelphia. And then he presents himself to the Church of Philadelphia as the holder of the key of David. He that opens and no man shuts, shuts and no man opens. So this is a very important one because you want to be a part of this church. And you can tell that Philadelphia is persecuted, but they literally have nothing negative. You know, all he says is that you have a little strength. So, okay, thank you. You have kept my word and not deny my name. And then he gets into some of the politics here, like, I'll make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. So you want to be a part of this church. This is the church that's like John, like, you know, the disciple who Jesus loved. Like, you want to be known as a lover of Jesus and not that crazy conspiracy theorist Christian guy. Although I might use that as a disguise at times, the truth is, like, everything I do, I want to enhance the love relationship with Jesus and to bring others to know him, to know his goodness. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So that could be like he's having you hide away in the mountains somewhere, or, you know, the main plagues that are coming, he might teleport you someplace to Pergamos or whatever, Petra. He might have you off planet for a time. Because the world is going to be tempted majorly, tried by the hour of temptation. Lead us not into temptation, Lord. Lead us not into temptation. I'm not talking about, oh, don't let me do the thing. I'm saying get out of the mentality, the downward spiral of even the entertainment, just sinking ship, fast sinking into darkness. Just deliver us from evil, Lord. Get us, hide us away. Hide us in the clefts of the rock. Keep me as the apple of thine eye. Read the Psalms not as a devotional, but as a love poem, as your heart pouring out to God. You feel like you don't really love God? Well, read Psalm 119. Then read the Song of Solomon. Read some of the really passionate words in the Bible. And then let God's Spirit possess you and help you to identify into that love. It's a mystical thing. You don't have to feel love for someone to do the loving thing. But once you start doing the loving thing, oftentimes God will give you the love. It's his love after all. I mean, we're a bunch of sinners, right? But the good news is that his love is what will direct us to truly love and even to love him. He's given us the roadmap. He's given us the place to launch your rocket, the trajectory. So whether you end up in the galactic nebula of the fallen reptilian hybrid space station race of soul shard stealers, and you have to learn how to grapple with those like Captain Kirk, at least you know the trajectory is true from the very get-go. Okay, I want to finish up on this revelation, but I'm going to take a little brekkie. An achy breaky. Hallelujah. We're going to get in there, man. We're going to go all the way.
Thanks. You are cleared for liftoff. Booyah!
Hallelujah. Continuing on here. Thank you, Jesus. So, I want to finish up with the word first before touching upon some of these weird and crazy vision dreams from a more quiet time before the Clone Wars,
before the dark days of the Force, before the great falling away, when brother turned on brother.
So we were talking about the seven churches and not just the data, there's so much information that gets your mind going this way and that in the first three chapters of Revelation. We got to Philadelphia and then there's Laodicea. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. God is presenting himself, Jesus presents himself with these very unique titles to each church. I don't think anybody I've ever heard really touch on this, that each church has a different revelation of Jesus Christ. And that he presents himself perfectly. It's the church that doesn't do too good.
This is the Laodicean church. You've heard of this one. I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Boom, baby. But you know, the good thing he says here is, you know, you don't realize you're miserable, poor, and blind, etc. I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. You get eye salve for your eyes. And then he says, look, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. We have to pursue God like you're back in the youthful, hot, zealous, like, I'm going to do this kind of thing. I'm going to break out of the mold, you know? I'm not going to do what my parents did or my grandparents or that guy. Especially him, I'm going to be this, you know, or pursuing your love interest, like just crazy, crazy about Jesus. You have to throw everything else away at times. And then when you come back to it, God will purge out the things that don't belong in your life, like friends that are leading you the wrong way, or just, you know, the stuff. That's just stuff in your life that you don't need, all the crap that accumulates. I mean, I got chicken crap to clean in that shed, and I've got rabbit poop to clean in the sunroom, and I've got to get rid of all that crap, man. Why live in a chicken coop? I got to build them a little warm little shed to survive the cold out there, too, so it's not their fault. But man, I want to blast off and break away from a life that is digging its own grave and preparing for its funeral. And yes, we will do all the things that are necessary to do. If Jesus doesn't come back right away, like we're hoping, and if the Antichrist is still a far way off, it's sort of a balance of like, do you want to just live a normal life and that's it? Even if that's the case, we have work to do. To present God to a dying world and to present the tools, some of this more out there stuff, it's really just bait and tools to bring people to the gospel. All of it. The big news is the gospel of Jesus Christ for salvation forever. Anyway, we need to ask Jesus for if any part of our soul has dabbled into the cup of these different sins of the seven churches, then we need to repent. And it says to buy gold tried in the fire. You want to be really rich? Buy gold from Jesus. I mean, that is a good investment. White raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. You know, God will cover your naked body from having to be exposed and
the eye salves so that you can see. You feel like you lost the vision? Jesus has eye salve. It's a real thing. These clothes, people have seen these clothes, these white garments. And behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh. And then he gives these promises. I kind of skipped the promises. Sorry. Each church gets a special promise. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. So with Jesus sitting with the Father in his throne, as he overcame, so does the end time bride sit in the throne of Jesus as he overcame, if we will also overcome. So that's the seven churches. And then it, Revelation 4 has this amazing visual of, you know, I was taken in the spirit and behold, a throne was set in heaven and one sat on the throne. And it describes the splendor. And if I was to read it to you, you would get distracted with just the different details, because every detail, like some kind of incredible high resolution work of art or painting or like a cover of a magazine that's really well done, like you just get sucked into every detail and you're just staring at like each individual stone glowing with fire and electricity and the beautiful colors and the rainbows and the lightnings and the, but just to come back to the humble word of God, that God would contain all of that energy and power and eternal fire into a book that we carry around in our pockets and barely ever open, or a book that's transcribed into the data of an evil little black mirror that governs so much of your time and attention, that pretends to present you with the truth, but most of it is all lies. And to find the truth, it's so hard. It's like finding the treasure in the wilderness. And that treasure sets you free. And then you can go and you can have a fun adventure. Like my friend talking about this vision or dream of being on a distant comet. And there was a dark ambience, but a beauty. Possibly a spaceship with some terrestrial zone built onto it. And encountering firebirds, the celestial mythical birds. Yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff in this document. I need to ask for permission to share this in detail. But in general, there was a dream with the knowledge not being on Earth, and we were standing on glowing red soil, just taking in what was being shown in the distance, a starry backdrop with no moon. And that was odd because the land is very luminous. And then everything seemed to take on the quality of a phosphorescent glow or bioluminescence with thousands of fireflies, not blinking like the ones on Earth, a continuous glow. And that's why there wasn't a need for a celestial light. Then, facing the back of what seems to be an all-terrain rover camper type of vehicle, unlike anything I've ever seen, the back of it was lined with many small drawers, like a filing cabinet. And it was like a library on wheels, all these little files, everything cataloged perfectly, maybe even chronologically according to the plans of God. Gazing at the back of this vehicle, noticing the drawers, and two very interesting birds appeared out of the back of it and hopped out from each side. In the rover, there was a driver with a cowboy hat on. Yeah, space cowboy. The birds are adorned with black necks, long beaks, and red, puffy, almost flustered tail feathers. Like a chicken. But also nothing like a chicken at the same time. Like birds of paradise meets a phoenix. Some kind of celestial bird. And I asked the Lord, what are they? And heard, firebirds. What do firebirds do? They are involved in the release of revelation.
symbolically, there were... Yeah. Anyway. Later, sitting at a table, looking at a stack of ripped-out pages from a manual about this planet. We were engaged, next thing I knew, with an older man who was like a teacher. He had long, silvery beard, explaining what the manual is, with the ambience of a fire crackling from the fireplace inside of a cabin. Seems like a very humble and cozy place. Just like exactly where I am. This is why I'm reading this. It's kind of like, apropos. A little bit too coincidental to have this document of all the thousands I could have opened appear. He explains the manual is embedded with the word. There is other information in it. I haven't read it yet. He explains that all of creation, including other planetary realms, all vibrate with the word. And that it's very functional, and its very function and purpose leans on the word. I feel there's a connection to the Phoenix constellation and an experience with the Firebirds. Meditate on this, if you will. And that's... And one more detail was the title of the manual was The Frontiers and Futures, Book 1. And the man's name was Maverick, but he said, call me Maeve. And Maeve means joy in Celtic. So after receiving that document, it reminded me of a craft that had been given to me called the Phoenix. And that there were very useful duties that this angel craft has in my own spiritual travels. And that the whole point of visualizing that craft was to begin to live out the rest of my life as a living book, embracing the Word of God, every revelation, every prophecy I can possibly get my hands on, reaching out more and more, working with the heavenly host. And that we have mobile bases in the spirit to come back to and operate from. And that kind of having a mothership with you wherever you go is, it's a really useful, practical thing to have. And to be able to store things. Like we come across treasures. Some of the people, some of the conversations, some of the little encounters with maybe here in the Cherokee lands, we have maybe some Indian connections, I don't know. And we don't have time to do it all or have enough time to repent and pray for all the forgiveness that the land needs for whatever things took place. Maybe some shamanistic things, maybe some sins, the past, curses, breaking them off. You know, we don't have time to think about every single possible one. But if we have with us the heavenly host and we live in a constant state of repenting, asking for forgiveness, turning away from evil, turning towards the Lord, rinse, repeat. You know, I have a lot of little jobs, and some of the jobs I'm just showing up and I just hose down floors. They get dirty. And then I come back and I hose them down again. And it's fun because I get to still kind of post things, podcasts, Don Basham, Ern Baxter, Liz Walker sermons, all on the fringeradionetwork.com podcasts that we're busy putting there. And my own shows, translating them to Fringe Radio Network as Spirit Wars Frontlines and that whole entourage, but also my own website, faithbucks.com, and the kind of, you see a lot of automatic postings on there. I have to still manually key those in. And I'm really wanting to start getting more into the writings and sharing of the art too, because I think art is a big part of what we do. So you can see, you can visualize with your real eyes. Anyway, having a spiritual spaceship, man, I mean, it just makes sense to me. And we are going into other dimensions, and we are going to see the events of Revelation take place. And so it's a careful balance between stepping into the spirit and seeing these things of great mystery, and then coming back into the world and, you know, feeding your chickens and staying abreast of what's going on. Not in fear, not in fear of what's coming upon the earth, but in love, with a joyful expectancy and expecting to see the things that are invisible come to pass. And the cloud of witnesses and the prophets and the warriors that have gone before, and to be able to engage with those and bring from that realm into our realm. It's a great thing. Every little prayer can shake and rearrange the very heavens. You know, it talks about in the Bible, the stars are moved out of their courses. So how about that? You know, God can do anything. Get into his presence and thank him and be loved by him. And just notice what he'll do with your day-to-day walk and just wherever you go. And not in fear, but in joyous peace and faith, and just taking everything from him as a gift and proceeding forward. All right, guys, I got to run. I love y'all. Stay close to Jesus. Don't let anything take the place of knowing him and being known by him. Amen. All righty, bye-bye.